Mr. Cass, our lodger, used a cutthroat razor to shave. Every evening he would spend ages sharpening it on a leather strop. Then, the next morning, spend even longer meticulously shaving. Not just his face, but his whole skull. Mum said to him, "Have you ever tried using an electric razor? It's much quicker." "It may be quicker," he replied. "But personally, I've always found it a most unsatisfactory experience. Apart from not being close enough, it brought me out in a most unpleasant rash." "No, no, that is not for me. Using a proper razor is how I was taught to shave when I was in the army. It has served me well ever since then." We'd never had a lodger before, but since Dad had run off with another woman, no one knew who it was or where they went. Money had been very tight.
It was the morning we were burying Dad.
And as I left the house with Mum to get in the funeral car, I saw a man on the other side of the street. He was on a motorbike and wearing a black leather jacket. "Who's that?" I asked, pointing. "I don't know," Mum said. "Why's he stopped then?" "People just do that, out of respect." The car pulled away from the curb, and Mum, tissue in hand, waved at the neighbours. I was surprised at how many there were to wave back. Even the old couple on the corner were by their front gate. I was in two minds if I should wave too. It seemed appropriate for Mum to do it, especially with her tear-damp tissue, but somehow for me, I feared it might come over as a tad frivolous. I am, as they say, or at least as Mum keeps saying, the man of the house now. So surely my tissue waving days are over.
It's not just a dream, Papa.
The boy snapped, turning over and straightening.
England and Spain are fighting their bloody guts out, and we're sitting around shining some gentleman's shoes, working on his godforsaken farm and cleaning out his pissed-on kitchens. When lads out there in the new world are making a keep by fighting for their country, I could... Oh, just listen to your goddamn twaddle.
The father slapped the boy hard across his face.
You've any idea what's lurking about those waters, eh? You have a blooming inkling of an idea. You want to know what'll happen? I'll tell you here and now. You'll end up dead. From what I know of you, going off at night, drinking your bleeding heart to dysfunction, and no blooming discipline whatsoever, you'll wind up drowned at the bottom of the ocean with no stone at your head, no lord in your mind, and no family in your heart. You hear me, Thomas? You'll not win respect or fortune. It's for men of far better quality than you.
What, like you mean?
The young man stood up.
Like you? Who walks about like he don't care and everybody curses him a tinker and marks him down for his poverty? Hold your tongue, Tom. I'll not. Here's a chance to make better of our family, and ye'll not take it. I'd a chance to better my family when you were working for Mr. Robertson. Oh, bother speaking with you.